Is gambling and pornography always a sin? That's what we're going to tackle on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we've got a controversial one today, but I'm so glad that someone was brave enough to send in a question about both gambling and pornography because it's something that we need to talk about. So, let's jump right to today's discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. We just get a wide range of questions now, and I think it used to just be about salvation and assurance, which is kind of like the main focus of our ministry. But I think with the show, we've kind of opened it up to everything. Do you want some examples of that?
Well, a little concerned about what this might be. Okay, go ahead.
All right, here's a question from Joseph. And I guess these are, you know, the real questions that people are dealing with. He says, I deal a lot with new believers, and so I get a lot of questions on topics that I tend to take the answer for granted, but when I look for backup, it's not so obvious. And so Joseph says he's had these two questions come up recently. Number one, is it still a sin if a married couple uses pornography to aid them in being physically intimate? So this is a question that he's been asked by new believers. And I guess I can understand a new believer in the kind of culture that we live in, which is so pornographied, which everything is...
I've never heard that expression,
pornographied. Everything's pornographied, right? Okay. I mean, everything is sold by sex or revealing things.
You're right.
I don't listen to music, but every once in a while you see these lady singers. Boy, I'm only 42, but I feel like I'm...
You're an old soul.
I feel like I sound like I'm 70-something. But they're like strippers on stage. You know, and these are like, you know, top, what would be a top 40 hits? Is that a real thing nowadays?
I wouldn't know. I don't know. I don't listen to music.
But it's just so pornographic. I think about that with my kids. I'm like my daughter got a doll recently and it's called I forget what it's called, like an LOL doll or something like that. But this doll looks like she makes a living dancing, you know, taking off her clothes for me. And I was like, this is not acceptable. It was just terrible. Okay, so.
So the first question.
Is it still a sin if a married couple uses pornography? Well, how about this? You can ask this question. Is pornography still a sin?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Right. In fact, the Greek word for immorality is porne, or pornao for the verb form. And clearly pornography falls within that. Besides, that's not even a victimless crime.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of people who are abused in the making of pornography.
Right.
And on top of that, how can it be good for a married couple to be watching other people
fornicate,
and ultimately then what you're doing is you're getting pictures in your mind that are not of your spouse, they're of somebody else, so
right.
Not a good thing. I can understand, like you say, in our sexualized society, why people might consider it helpful, but to me it's a rationalization.
Right, you're just, it'd be kind of like saying, well, can I get drunk with my wife? You know, I used to get drunk with my girlfriend, but is it okay for me to get drunk with my wife? No, getting drunk is wrong.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter who you're with.
Right.
You know, and same thing with pornography. That is wrong. It's evil. It's sin. It destroys lives, the people who partake in it, the people who film it, and also the people who watch it. And it's just, it's not good.
Well, plus it's a gateway drug.
Right.
What you find is that almost all rapists started out with pornography,
right.
And they graduated to worse and worse kinds of it, and then eventually became rapists.
Right.
And lots of murderers are also heavy into porn.
Right.
So it's kind of a gateway drug.
At the very least, it might lead to committing adultery with other people
exactly.
in your marriage. Not
exactly.
only in your mind, you're already doing that in your mind or in your heart if you're watching it, but actually in your behavior.
Right.
I read an article recently, within the last year, about a pastor saying the new horizon for dealing with these issues with new believers is polyamory. There's more people identifying as Christians who are just maybe three or four people just living together and being sexually active together in polyamorous, having sexual relations with more people. And this pastor said it's come up again and again and again with self-identified Christians doing that. It's back to 1 Corinthians.
Right.
You know?
The kinds of issues that took place in Corinth are unfortunately coming up today. And I, you know, Sean, I came up through the sexual revolution. I graduated from high school in 1970, and that was kind of big era of sexual revolution, and I wasn't partaking of the sexual revolution. But as I look back on it, compared to what's going on today, things were pretty tame.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of immorality, but nothing like the degree it's going to today. So I would say stay away from pornography for any reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it scares me, and yeah. I think it should scare every Christian. Once a person gets addicted to it, and maybe some of the people listening to us right now have an addiction, they need to get help because it's not an easy thing to get over.
Right.
Lots of people find it very hard to kick that addiction.
Yeah.
It is a sex addiction,
mm-hmm.
and it's not healthy. It's not good for your marriage. It's
yeah.
not good for your walk with the Lord. It is sin, and it's something that needs to be dealt with.
Abby and I find that, forget about pornography, Abby and I can't even watch most mainstream shows anymore.
Right.
We've had to stop watching lots of just normal shows that are supposed to be family shows, and we can't watch it because it's just too much.
Right. Shows now promote premarital sex. They promote homosexuality. They promote, what's it called, polyamory or whatever
sure.
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
They promote everything under the sun, and they go out of their way to promote it. In
yeah.
other words, it's almost like, well, you got to check off every show has to have
right.
so many of this kind of person, so many of this
yes,
kind. I'm talking
right.
about sexual preferences,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, so they're covering the LGBTQA.
Sure.
How many letters is it now?
There's a bunch of letters. Yeah.
You know, they say in terms of gender now, Sean, there's not two genders. There's now something like, I don't know, 100 genders?
Yeah, I've seen those lists. And serious lists, not lists by conservatives making fun of this. I mean, lists made by gender studies people who really believe in this. And I've seen dozens and dozens of genders, and it's to me it just hopefully it all will collapse upon itself.
I hope so.
That's a civilization collapsing type issue.
Right.
All right, well, here's his second question from Joseph that he's gotten from new believers. Is recreational gambling wrong?
Yeah, well, that one's a harder question because gambling is not specifically forbidden in the scriptures.
Right.
And you might get from certain principles in the scriptures that it's questionable, you know, like you're not going to steal from others, but gambling isn't exactly stealing from others
no.
unless you're cheating. So
right.
if you're gambling honestly, it's not exactly stealing. And so I could see how recreational gambling could have some benefit, but coming out of my family, I'm very reluctant to gamble. My
right.
uncle never made a lot of money, and he probably lost $1 million over the course of his life because he inherited a lot of money from his land, a lot of Southern California land from his parents, and he ended up and had to use that money to pay his gambling debts year after year.
Yeah.
My dad, we would go to Las Vegas 4 or 5 times a year, and my dad had limits, but I bet my dad lost, I don't know, $20,000, $50,000 over the years in gambling, and it was very
yeah.
hard for him to stop.
Yeah.
He would stop, but not before he'd lost a fair amount.
Yeah.
And gambling also is something that concerns me, I guess because my dad loved me and everything, but he was also an alcoholic, and if you have an addiction in one area, it can go in other areas.
Right.
Even though I don't drink, I'm concerned about all addictions, whether
sure.
it's alcohol or gambling or whatever. So
sure.
I would stay away from recreational gambling, but I get it. I get some people do it. But beware of all the things that are associated with it. There's so many bad things associated with gambling.
Yeah. I mean, I think about my family and my grandmother, Nanny, had a gambling problem, and when you have a gambling problem, 15 minutes can just ruin your entire financial life.
Right.
You know, I mean, Nanny just, lots of times, she just suddenly, boom, $15,000 or something was gone. You know, something crazy.
Which right.
a retired person can't lose. And I remember they sent her to a rehab hospital for, I think it was heroin addiction, because they thought that the same area of the brain that kind of gets kind of excited with gambling also gets excited with heroin, and some type of drug.
Right.
Maybe this would help. But for Nanny can't even go near one of those one-armed bandits. She has to absolutely stay away. Now, for me, I can go and gamble $1, $5,
sure.
whatever. It doesn't do anything for me. But let me raise you this point. I find it hard to even walk into a casino. Maybe it's because of my experience with Nanny, but when I walk into there and I see the people And it just, I'm not a super spiritually sensitive guy, but when I walk into those places, I feel spiritual oppression.
I do too. And for me, part of the problem is, especially when you're talking about the slot machines, they have all these lights that are blinking and all these noise that they make.
Yeah.
And I have a fair amount of PTSD, and all that stuff just upsets me.
Yeah.
Hearing all the noise and seeing all the flashing lights, I'm like, I got to get away from that.
Right.
I get that some of it has some value, but another problem is a lot of these casinos, their goal is to get the gamblers drunk. I don't know if they still do it, but in Vegas, they used to give free drinks mm-hmm. while you were gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so my dad would get smashed, and he might be ahead $500 or $1,000, but once he got drunk, that money went away quick.
Yeah. Be wise about it. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, I guess from what our conversation just now, it seems to me like there aren't a whole lot of benefits. Maybe you're just having like a night out or something with some friends, but there's a whole lot of downside, you know, and you should really be wise about gambling.
Well, let me give you one final thing. I go to Las Vegas once a year. I missed this year because of COVID, but I've been for about the last 10 years. I go to a church called Upland Bible Church, which is away from the Strip, but it's a really nice Bible teaching church. I speak there, and the people there don't go to the casinos other than to eat. You can get some nice meals in the casinos to eat sometimes. But they stay away from them, and when I go there, when you're in the airport, believe it or not, they have hundreds, if not thousands, of slot machines as you're waiting to board your flight.
Yeah.
And I just stay away from it. I'm like, really? Why would you do this? And it is depressing because you see some of these people look so bedraggled.
Oh, yeah. You can just see it.
They look so oppressed. And like your nanny, they look like somebody who is just losing money they can't afford to lose.
Absolutely, yeah. So be wise about it. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from gambling. Pornography is definitely a sin. Gambling is a gray area, but it has so much downside. All right, thank you for your questions, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Monday's show, we're going to talk about what you have to do to go to heaven. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.